Thank you, Natalie. My name is Nisha Moodley. I'm the founder of FierceFabulousFree.com. And I don't know how to work this thing, but I'll figure it out. I'm really glad to be in this space with all of you women today and a few guys because I'm going to share some really vulnerable stories about how sisterhood saved me from the slippery slope of addiction so that I could find my freedom. So for the guys in the room, I know there are only a few of you, but I'm not ignoring you. You too shall have sisterhood. You can relate everything that I'm sharing to community and to friendship. So this is me as a kid. As you can see, I was really cool. Hence the awesome t-shirt with my name on it, so everybody knew who I was. I realized this morning when I was looking at these pictures that those pants are actually part of a clown costume my mother made me, and I thought, these pants are so awesome, I'm going to wear them every day. Not every day, but that day I wore them, and actually the pattern is strikingly similar to the dress I'm wearing today. So growing up, I felt pretty different from other kids. Anyone feel like they can relate to that? Yeah. My father is South Indian, very, very dark skin. My mother has fair skin, freckles, blue eyes, and light hair. She's Scottish, English, and Welsh. Kids would ask me in school, what are you? And I was like, I don't know. I really didn't know what they meant by that. A girl? I'm a girl. I don't know anything else. I felt really, really different from other kids. And when I was 3, my parents divorced. So I actually grew up in these 2 separate homes with 2 separate cultures. I would go from being like a Hindu brown girl who didn't quite feel totally brown to an Anglican white girl that didn't feel super white. And I felt really lonely for a lot of my childhood and a lot of my life. And we all have had experiences as children that have, you know, messed us up and primed us for therapy. And mine happened to be my parents' divorce and this experience of feeling really different from other kids. So I know that that's not special or unique. We all have our stuff, but those are my things. And the way that I coped with that feeling of loneliness and feeling different and weird was food. So I ate when I was happy. I ate when I was sad. I ate when I was lonely. I ate when I was confused. I ate when I was frustrated. I ate to please people. I noticed that when I ate a lot, my grandparents and my parents would be really happy, and they would say I was a good eater. And I thought, oh, I'm a good girl. I'll keep eating. So I ate, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I realized this was actually not healthy, and hiding bags of potato chips wasn't something that everybody did. And I went about trying to figure out how to solve this problem, and I did, which is not the story I'm here to tell today, specifically, and moved to New York, went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. Any IIN graduates in the room? Woohoo! Hello, family. And studied holistic nutrition and built a business where I helped women find freedom from emotional eating. So several years ago, I was running my business. Business was going well, was growing, was going well enough that I was able to quit my day job. And I felt really fulfilled in the work that I was doing. I knew I was making a difference. It was working. The stuff that I was teaching was working, and women were actually getting the freedom with food that they craved. But my personal life was another story. So I was running my business, and my marriage, I'm divorced now, so you can see where this is going. My marriage was falling apart. We were having a really brutal time. And anyone who's been through divorce knows it's terrible. And we were teetering on that decision-making point. And one day, we were having a big blowout fight, a huge argument. And I remember very distinctly throwing my hand up and saying, I don't have time for this. I have work to do. And I got behind my laptop and was like, wow, this is nuts. I'm in the same place with work that I was with food. I'm using work to escape what's going on in my life so that I don't have to deal with it, so that I don't have to deal and I don't have to feel. I'm just going to work. And in retrospect, I realize now I was also creating drama in my business, like, got all the money. Oh, it's all gone. I'm broke again. Okay, I think I figured out my niche. No, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I was creating all this drama to avoid what was going on in my relationship. So I knew I needed to solve this problem. And I knew that unless I was going to align my messaging to be about the virtues of being a burned out workaholic, which probably wasn't going to sell very well, I was going to have to align my life, learning how to walk in these shoes, align my life with my message. The problem was the only way I could think of overcoming workaholism was more work. So I thought, just give me a good nod if you've ever said any of these things. Oh, after this launch, or when I get a few more clients, after I hit six figures or the website launches or I get some support, it was always like out there, things will be better. And fortunately, because more work as a cure for workaholism seemed a little absurd, even to me, I realized that obsessing over my work wasn't going to solve the problems in my marriage. And it wasn't going to solve the loneliness that I was experiencing and had experienced for years. More work wasn't going to fix the problem. I actually needed some change right away. Okay, so around this time in my life, I'm going through this messy separation, trying to figure out what's next. I heard this quote from the Dalai Lama, "The world will be saved by the Western woman." Have you guys heard this? Now you have, and aren't you glad you did? I was like, I'm a Western woman. I want to save the world. And the Dalai Lama says I can, so damn it, I will. I was super inspired. I was so inspired by the fact that the Dalai Lama had my back. It's like totally, you know, when the Dalai Lama has your back, you're good. But I was thinking to myself, okay, I understand where he's coming from. As Western women, we have a lot of freedoms in the world, right? We have access to technology. We got Google News. We can see what's going on. We can spread messages farther and faster with that technology. We're generally not dealing with questions like, how am I going to feed my children today so they don't starve to death? So we can ask questions like, what am I passionate about? And these are all luxurious questions. But not all Western women are going to go out and save the world. And I was curious, which ones? And being that I was in the position that I was in my marriage, with that falling apart and feeling really stressed out about my business all the time, I started to get the feeling like, man, I built this business so that I could have more freedom in my life, and I feel like I have less. So it occurred to me that the ones who were going to save the world were the ones who, as Gandhi said, were being the change. So here's what I think. I think that the new paradigm of feminine leadership is about us stepping into our role as change makers by being the change that we want to see in the world. So being a leader as a woman in these times calls for us to choose our freedom, our own freedom, now. Agreed? Okay, great. So here's the problem. I didn't know what to do about it. I had this revelation. Wow, if I'm going to actually make a difference, I have to be the difference. I have to be the change that I want to see in the world. But I had been hiding the truth for so long, I didn't know where to start. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I remember, I remember having a wedding on the calendar. It was 2 weeks away. I was married. We were having a horrible time. And I remember thinking to myself, we have 2 weeks. I have 2 weeks to fix this marriage so that when we go to the wedding, nobody can tell how effed up things are, and it'll be great. Has anybody ever experienced that? Like, I just need to fix this really quickly so nobody knows what's going on. Or I was working 24/7 and I was like, but I'm good. Business is great. And, you know, anybody have well-meaning parents who are like, maybe you shouldn't quit your job yet. And what are you going to, health insurance? And so I was just like trying to get things in order, like stable in my business, like really solid, so that when I got on the phone with my mom next, I could be like, everything's great. And I would mean it, because moms can smell when you're lying about that kind of stuff. I'd really been hiding, and I had these like one-liners. So somebody would say to me, like one of my girlfriends would say, so how's it going in your marriage? I'd be like, oh, you know, it's still challenging, but we're working on it. We're both really committed to staying together. I was like, what does that even mean? I'm not really getting in there. I'd be like, how's business going? Oh, it's great. I've got a wait list now. It's awesome, you know. I'm still like dealing with the stresses, but that's how it goes, you know, in the first few years of business. I was talking about my life like it was the weather. I've really been hiding the truth from the people in my life, the women in my life. And I've been trying to figure all of this out on my own. Because I was in this isolation, even though I had friends and I was hanging out with them, I was talking about my life like I talked about the weather, and trying to solve all of these issues on my own. And I felt like a total failure. So can anybody relate to, at any point in your life, having been here? Hiding the truth, trying to figure out all by yourself. And then, you know, I'll just figure it out and then I'll tell everybody what the truth is, because the truth will be awesome. And you feel like a total failure. So I needed support. And I got it. I was so desperate. I hired a business coach. I hired a relationship coach. I joined a mastermind group of women, and I started actually telling my friends, my family, the people in my life, what was really going on with me. And it was not easy all the time, because I had been talking about the weather for 30 years. Now I was actually talking about what was really happening. But I made a gentle effort. And now I want to share with you what the last 3 or so years have been like after stepping into that space of supportive sisterhood and getting help strategically with my business and my relationship, but also stepping into that space of sisterhood. So I want to share with you, because frankly, up until now, the story has been kind of a bummer. Okay, so I focused on 5 areas of my life, 5 experiences of freedom that I wanted to have in my life. And I rallied all of these, all my girlfriends, my family, in this space of truth and sisterhood, and my coaches to help me deepen these areas of my life so I could have more freedom in them. So let's talk about money. Okay, so I told you I was creating drama, you know, in my business so that it would distract me from my relationship. So one of my dramas was money drama. It's like tons of money in the bank, no money in the bank. Tons of money, lots of clients, waiting list, no clients. What's happening? And part of it was that I had a really solid strategy with my money, which was avoid it. Just like don't look, and then look to make sure, like, okay, I hope I have enough. Oh, I have enough. Oh, phew. Okay, now I won't look again until I need to figure out whether or not I have enough. So that wasn't working. So I started putting more attention on my money, just paying attention to it. Where I had been avoiding, I just brought attention there. In the last 3 years, I doubled my revenue, and then I tripled it, and then I doubled it again. And I absolutely believe that it was because of the space of sisterhood that I had and the support that I had. To go forth with the strategies that I was learning. And mostly because I just put my attention on that, on expanding my sense of freedom in that area. Creativity. When I talk about this, a lot of entrepreneurs are like, guilty as charged. So I had felt like a creative person my whole life. I was a jewelry designer for a few years, and I was like crafty kid, and I wore clown pants to school. It's like, I was an artist, man. And then I became an entrepreneur, and all of a sudden I was just a marketer and a wife. And neither of those was feeling very stable. So I wasn't doing any, I like stopped being the creative person that I was. I stopped being an artist. I felt like that area of my life was really missing. So I started writing. I started writing poetry again. And I started doing crafty things again and just starting to cultivate that. Who's craving more creativity in their life? Yeah, a lot of us. So vitality is like energy, your health, your playfulness, your sense of adventure. And I felt pretty flat. I was doing more of those stories that I told before, like, well, after I get this much money, or after that happens, or after this happens, then I'll, you know, be able to hire a personal chef, or, you know, whatever I thought I was going to do, then I'll be able to travel. And I just started putting my attention on how could I actually expand my sense of freedom in the area of vitality right away. I mean, creative things that we can do. We are creative people. And, you know, even when I had all these stories about money, I'd sublet my apartment, take that money, and use that to travel. So there are so many creative ways that we could do it, but I started looking at vitality. And Natalie was asking me, so how's the travel going? You've been traveling a lot lately. And I said, yeah, I just counted. It was 13 places, 13 cities in the last 16 weeks, 8 countries. I travel a lot. I travel because I love to travel. And so this has been a massive expansion in my life. Time. Anybody want to spend more time with people that you love? Family. For me, it was my parents and my brother. I've seen them once a year. And yeah, they were a plane right away. They weren't super close, but they were on this planet. And I wanted to see them more often, so feasibly I could make that happen. And I just stopped deferring it to the future and just started doing it now. And connection. So I really wanted to feel more connected spiritually. I wanted to feel more connected to the people in my life. I wanted to be like madly in love. And I did end up getting a divorce, as I said, with the help of my community. I was able to do it without a lot of battle wounds in the end and with a really open heart. And I guarantee, actually, I have no way to prove this, but except for that I just know. I would have been a hot mess if I didn't have my sisters around me and the coaches that I worked with and my community. So we ended our marriage. We're great friends now. And I'm in love, which is great. I've been with my man for 2 years. And I'm telling you all of this not to impress you, but to impress upon you that when you step into the space of supportive sisterhood and you put your attention on expanding your freedom in the world, you can actually create. So what I was able to do was go out in the world and make a bigger difference, serve more people, because I didn't have 90% of my attention tied up in all the crap in my life that wasn't working. I was attending to that, so I was able to go and be of service. So I now call those 5 areas that I mentioned the many currencies of freedom: vitality, connection, money, time, and creativity. And I've come to understand that as women, as our freedom deepens, our ripple effect broadens. And when we step into that space of supportive sisterhood, and we explore ways to expand our own freedom and our sister's freedom, we support them, we're able to really give in a bigger way. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, so remember these quotes? So here's the core. This is why I'm here today. This right here. My core belief that the world will be set free by women who are free. And this right here, sisterhood, is the key to that. So I want to talk about why sisterhood works. It's like nice to have friends, but there are some actual like reasons why this works. So first of all, we are actually creatures of community. For all of humankind, women have lived in community, close-knit community, with other women. We've kept the fires burning, we gather food, We take care of the babies. We take care of one another. And so if you were living like that and you were scared or sad or frustrated or pissed off or lonely or excited or happy, you would have somebody, even if you were trying your hardest to push yourself into isolation, somebody would be there to notice and to come be with you and hold your hand and cry with you and laugh with you and celebrate with you and advise you and listen. I'm all for, as a woman, being able to go out in the world and do big things and not be home stirring a pot all day and taking care of kids. I love that idea, but I also want to go do my thing. But it's built into us as women to be in community with other women. When we don't have it, it's like something big is missing in our lives. And when we're able to express all of the stuff that we're feeling, all of the desires, the ambition, the dreams, the fears, the frustration, the sadness, the excitement, all of it, we have the experience of love, safety, and belonging, which are the fundamental human emotional needs. And when we have the fundamental human emotional needs met by our sisters, in our community, with our friends, we don't need to get those needs met by validation in our business, making more money, or in a relationship. We have those needs met. So one of the things that I've noticed in the last 7 years or so that I've really been passionate about finding out what freedom means to women, curious about what their desires are, I'll ask them to tell me, like, paint a picture for me of what you want. What do you really want? What do you want in your relationship? What do you want in your business? What do you want in your life? And often one of two things happens. I either hear them paint the picture for me and they tell me exactly what they want, and I hear the voice of their desire, and then somewhere in the background I hear, but I don't know if I can have it. Is it okay that I want that? Is it selfish? Am I good enough to have that? Maybe I shouldn't do that. I'm not sure. Anybody relate to that? You know what you want, but there's a whole bunch of other stories in the background about why you couldn't or shouldn't or can't have that. Or I ask them, paint me a picture, tell me what you want. And they say, I don't know. That was me. I don't know. I don't know if I wish I knew, but I can't, I don't even, do I, if you have intuition, I don't know if I got that thing. I just couldn't access what I wanted. So a lot of teachers will teach us to get in touch with our intuition, or to be more decisive, more focused, to get rid of those negative thought patterns. And I wonder, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay that we don't have such a strong, focused relationship with our desires, because we're actually creatures of community. And when we're with other women and we share the texture of our desires along with the fears and the curiosities and the upsets, and we share all of it, and we have this experience of love and safety and belonging, and our desires start to be supported, because women are really freaking awesome at holding intention. Really, really awesome. We're great at sort of, a woman will, have you ever had the experience of a friend of yours or a family member excitedly sharing what they want and maybe even sharing their insecurities around it? And you can just see her having it. You can just see it. You can, like, taste it. That's intention. That's the power of holding intention. The other reason that sisterhood works is because it helps shift our ecology. So this isn't an ecology chart, courtesy of a mentor and friend of mine, Brian Franklin. You are this gorgeous gray circle in the middle of the chart. Could have made you another more gorgeous color, perhaps. I'm sorry. But that is you. And most of us have the experience that to get what we want, we need to put in the work and overcome the obstacles, right? And that's true. We have to put in the work. But has anyone had the experience of you're going, you're doing everything, you're like following the plan, you're like doing the inner work, you're overcoming those obstacles, you're like bashing down the obstacles in front of you, you are on fire, and then all of a sudden the bottom drops out. It's like the client said that they were going to work with you and that check was coming in and now it's not. They changed their mind. Or you're doing so great eating all the things that were part of your diet, and then you went to brunch with your friend and she ordered a croissant and you ordered two. Self-sabotage. So there's a whole thing at work that we don't really think about or talk about, and that's our ecology. So your ecology is everything in your life, your friends, your family, your beliefs, everything in your life that has your life being exactly what it is right now. It's your ecological environment. It supports your life exactly as it is. When you stretch towards what you want and your ecology doesn't come with you, it's like a rubber band. And if you go too far and your ecology hasn't traveled with you, you snap back. And so, just like I was saying, those well-meaning family members that are like, I love you, you're so wise, you're so smart, I'm so proud of you, but I'm so proud of you, honey. Please don't quit your day job. We have to bring our ecology along with us. We have to bring our family system, our friends, and all of that along with us. So I've looked at how do we start to move this ecology so that the rubber band isn't so tight, so that we can then move forward and get what we want. And I call it a process of filling the gaps to getting what we want. Generosity, when you're really focused on what you, all the dramas in your life and everything that you want and everything that you, it's, we're often not that focused on how we can be of service in the world, how we can support others. Certainly when I was isolating myself, I wasn't remotely as generous as I aim to be now, because I was so focused on me and hiding those parts of me. Appreciation. So I'm sure most of us have at least heard the phrase, what you resist persists. Right, so being frustrated and pissed off at your mom because she doesn't want you to quit your day job doesn't help. It's appreciation, just appreciating what you do have right now. It's appreciating your life as it is. Play, I think of play as the alchemy of fun and curiosity. So how can we be in our life in a way that's more playful and less stiff and structured and stressed out? And finally, sisterhood. It's been my experience that nothing shifts ecology as much as sisterhood. Deepening the relationships you have with the women in your life, cultivating new relationships. If you're an entrepreneur and none of your friends are entrepreneurs, it will be much harder to have the people in your life backing the decisions that you're making, because they just may not understand. If you're pregnant and you have no friends who are moms, you might want to go get some friends who are moms so that you have some people who can support you, who understand why you feel crazy in the morning because you've had 1.7 minutes of sleep. So I want to talk about your freedom for a moment. I'd love you, everybody, to just, if you have anything in your hands, just put it down, especially if it emits light at your face. And let's just look. Let's give a little wiggle here. And just close your eyes. Your vitality is your energy, your health, your sense of adventure and play. And I want you to just check in with yourself quietly here and notice, how are you feeling with respect to vitality in your life right now? Just notice what is. Just notice what is. And now I want you to notice How would you love it to be? How would you love your experience of vitality, energy, health, adventure, play to be? And just pause here and give a moment of gratitude for what you have. Even if there's something you want. Connection. Connection could be for you about spiritual connection, connection with the people in your life, connection with yourself, with your body, your intuition. Just notice what it is in your life right now. Notice what's up for you in the area of connection. And gently notice how you'd like it to be. Let's have a moment of gratitude for what you do have in this area. Moment of thanks to yourself and those people and spirit. And now let's look at time. What's your relationship to time? What do you say to yourself and the world about time? What do you do with your time? And now gently shift your attention to what you'd like to be saying to yourself and the world about time. What you'd like your relationship with time to be, and how you'd like to spend your time. And just a moment of gratitude for having the time to think about time. Money. What's your relationship like with money? How do you feel about it? How do you think it feels about you? And just notice for a moment what you would like your relationship with and your bank account balance to look like with money. And a moment of gratitude for what you do have. And finally, creativity. What are the facts for you? How do you feel about your creative life? How would you like to feel about your creativity? And because you are, in fact, a creator and you're creating all the time, a moment of gratitude for the way that creativity is already expressing itself in your life. And open your eyes. Okay. Does anybody have like one or two areas where it felt most like a little like most uncomfortable, or the place where you wanted the most, where the gap between where you are and where you wanted to be is the greatest? Everybody have like one or two areas? Yeah. Okay. Great. So whichever area that gap felt the biggest, or it felt the most painful, or the most important to you, is the area that I'd like you to share. And we're just gonna have a very brief share in service of sisterhood. And so I'd like you to get into groups of like two or three. Nobody gets left out. By the way, if you're thinking to yourself right now, great, I'm just going to sneak out to the bathroom. It's lunch in like 4 minutes, so just hang tight. And it might be because you actually feel like your bladder is going to explode. And it might be because you, like me, are like, vulnerable sharing intimacy, not so interested. Thank you very much. So I want to encourage you to make a gentle effort at cultivating sisterhood. It's been a few generations now that women have been behind the sink, alone. We haven't been in close tribe with other women. So we're just going to take a minute each. And when you're sharing, I want you to share one area. We'll go back so you can look. Just how it is now and how you'd like it to be. Simple. And when you're listening, listen generously. That means just really listen. It's like perk your ears up and listen. And envision her having what she wants. If you are a coach, you can just take that hat off. You're not going to coach her. You're just going to listen. You just feel her and envision her having what she wants. So groups of two or three, I'll keep time. And the person with the longest hair can go first. You're going to have a moment to finish those conversations in a minute. First, I want to hereby declare this a safe and supportive sisterhood. So all the things that you share with any woman in this room stays in trust. Agreed? Beautiful. One quick thing. I'd love to invite you guys to a call that I'm doing called Feminine Focus. It's like in September, so we have plenty of time, but I'd like you to sign up now so we can get to know one another and stay in touch before then. It's fiercefabulousfree.com/OTC for off the charts. That's us. And this is an awesome class for women entrepreneurs that teaches how to move from confusion and procrastination to clarity and courage. I really invite all of you to join. A couple days ago, I was in Miami having dinner with a girlfriend of mine. And I said, look at the table behind you. And there were three women sitting at the table. All of them like this. They weren't talking at all. And I have kind of a morbid view on life, ironic, which is we're all going to die, and we don't get to decide when that happens. So the only life that we're promised is the breath in our body right now. That's it. And at the end of our life, I don't think, I haven't died lately, so I don't know, but I don't think that we're going to be saying, man, so many quality moments with my iPhone. I'm really going to miss my iPhone. Or my only regret is that I didn't spend more time on my Facebook BlackBerry app. I wish I had just spent more time on my BlackBerry. I think if we lament anything, it will be the missed opportunities for intimacy and closeness. And I think if we hold anything dear as a dear memory, it will be the intimacy and the closeness. So your lunchtime assignment is to put your phone away and connect. Don't pick it up. Your emails will still be there. There will be more of them, which will be even more annoying. Just leave them. Delay. You can get to them tonight. Put your phone away and connect with the human beings who are with you. And what I invite you to do is find a new sister or two or 10 and share what you're creating in your life to expand your own sense of freedom, to expand freedom for other people. What are you up to in the world? And I invite you to ask her as well and listen generously, share generously, and be in sisterhood for real with one another. Thank you.